Welcome to After the Buzzer. We're at the Man Cave where there's a holiday feel.
Is there?
Well, maybe not in the Man Cave itself, but in the complex. In the After the Buzzer headquarters, worldwide headquarters.
No doubt.
Anyway, I'm Mike Gross, and my partner, as always, is Gordy Jones, and we're hanging. Gordy, what's up, my man?
Not much. How about yourself?
The usual stuff.
Are you in the holiday spirit, Mike?
No. No, but thank you for asking. No, I kind of am. But, and our guest, I'm sure he's in the holiday spirit.
No doubt.
Because he's a spirited guy.
He is.
And we're going to talk a little high school basketball this week. And our guest is the proprietor of the website llhoops.com and the author of a forthcoming book, 50 Years of Lancaster Lebanon League Boys Basketball, which Gordy and I have both had a little involvement in. Mm-hmm. Dell Jackson, welcome to After the Buzzer.
Hey, thank you guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Give us a health update. You're hurting. We know that. You're injured. You're down. You're out of the lineup. You're on the disabled list. Give us your projected return.
I'm not down. I'm a little out, but okay. Not totally down.
Okay.
No, I tore my Achilles about a month ago, and I just got out of the cast this week. And in fact, yesterday was the first game that I got out to. So I've been manning the score pages on the website, and looking forward to getting out and seeing some of the talent that we have in the area.
We're working on this book and getting it closer, wrestling it closer to the ground and closer to the finish line. Tell us and tell people who would want to read this thing. Give us a progress report. Where are we and where are we going to be when?
Okay, so actually, Mike Gross, you and me talked about this project about a year ago. We worked on it, and we did some Zoom interviews, and we decided to go with some coaches that had a lot of experience and a lot of wins in the LL. We got to most of them. We did some articles on them, mostly via Zooms, which was kind of cool. So you get to talk to coaches and in their words, and then we had a software that transcribed the words, and then we had to edit the words. And the thing that I found out more than anything else is our spoken word is a lot different than the written word.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here going as we speak. So that I found out pretty quick. And then we had some spelling of names. So a lot of times we would interview a coach and we would get it kind of cranked out and in written form. Then we'd have to go back to the coach or the player and say, okay, do you have the spellings of his names? And then our good friend Gordy Jones, he would really go through it after we got it in written form. And he said, nope, this guy's spelled wrong on this page and this and that. So.
So it's a matter of just for people to kind of picture it. It's going to be the transcript of those Zoom interviews in edited form. If you could picture like the Playboy interview, it's that kind of thing. It's going to be not in terms of content. It won't be like the Playboy interview, but it's going to be basketball coaches and players who had a significant role in the history of the league. That's going to be sort of the bulk of the book. But this is not a book that really you're going to probably read from beginning to end. It's going to, there's a lot of factual information. There's a lot of lists. There's decade by decade essays on each decade of the history of the league. We couldn't really get Sam Bowie. Mm-hmm. So I did a long piece about Sam Bowie, which is going to be part of it. And that's what, so I think it's going to be of interest to a lot of different people who have some connection to the sport in our area, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm just looking at the table of contents as we're speaking. We had coaches. We even had, I tell you, Mike, as we went down the trail, I said, you know what? I think I need some from the LL officials. So we got one article on those and some players, all the 2000 point scorers. We also did we kind of went back in time and did the state championship teams, and I found that very interesting, and we assigned different guys to do that. Gordy did a couple, I did one, you did one. That turned out really nice. We also did decades by the decades, so 1973 to 1979, Mike, you did that piece, and then the next decade, Gordy did, and then I did 1990 to 99, and 2000 to 2009, I did that. And then the last two decades, we kind of combined because we didn't quite have a decade, is I had Andy Herr, who's the LL Hoops top writer, and then I had John Walk, who works at LMP. They did the most recent one because those guys have boots on the ground and they knew the players, and that turned out really well too. So the list, we did a lot of different lists, basically playoff history, 1,000-point scores, 2,000-point scores, and I threw something in there that's probably not all LL, but I had a 50-point plus games pre-LL by my friend, rest in peace, Jerry Shank. So mm-hmm. I had to put a little bit of Jerry in there just because he kind of got us off to this start. So,
and he was a list guy. He was a good guy.
Yeah, he was a list guy. Kind of yeah. He did rankings for middle sport. I think it was Sporting Middle Sport Atlantic, something like that.
Middle Atlantic Sports News is what it was called.
Yeah, and I have some of that stuff. So mm-hmm. anyway, it's been an interesting process. It's in the can right now, as we say. It's getting edited, and every time it comes back, we find a couple of commas or spellings or even layout questions, and you know, got a couple old pictures in there, a couple new pictures, and mm-hmm. it's really been a group. It's been a group project. You know, Gordy's helped an awful lot, and you've helped a lot, and you know, I've kind of organized it. So, I just think the way it's going to come out, it's pretty good. I'm looking at a table of contents right now, and it's 300 some pages as we speak right now.
So yeah. when do you think we might see that?
Oh boy! Every time we have another edit, it kind of pushes it back. So the last thing I got today is the 8th. They said the 12th, and then probably one more edit after that. So I am hoping closer to Christmas. We might not have it out in Christmas, but we're putting it out in a couple different forms. Mm-hmm. As we speak, it'll be out in Kindle form, mm-hmm. so the ebook, and then also we're going to put it on Amazon print, so you can order it and they'll just print it and send it to you, just like you do with any Amazon Prime stuff. So
and
that's what we have so far. We might have hardback down the road. Mm-hmm. We might have some signings, but we're not quite there yet for the marketing, but we've been concentrating on getting this thing finished.
And hopefully this will end up in school libraries in the league, for one thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that'll be one place, and hopefully coaches and ADs and people that have had connection to it will be interested in it. We hope so. We hope so, and certainly it's been worth doing. I mean, it's been very, very worth doing.
I've said this to both of you before, but it was a real great joy to be able to do the two pieces that I did, Lancaster Catholic's 2003 state championship team and the decade of the 80s, because I reconnected with people I literally hadn't talked to in at least 20 years, and in a lot of cases longer than that. So it was a real great joy to talk to people I hadn't, you know, been in touch with in a long, long time. So I appreciate the opportunity, Del. It was great. It was great to be able to do that.
And that was a lot of the fun of it. I mean, that was up for, I think, for all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, talking to Will Lasky and
talking,
who we had on the pod then,
right.
By the way, and Jack Hurd and,
all of those
guys.
Mike Whistler, those guys.
Yeah, yeah. Mike Whistler was great.
All of us talked to him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Those guys were great.
Yeah, it was really kind of a nice walk down memory lane, and just nice to pick up with people at a different point in their lives and just kind of look at things through a different lens, I guess. You know what I mean?
The other thing is, when you win a state title, that's a lot of narrative. There's always a story there when you won a state title. I fear that we might be losing that a little bit with this six class thing.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say that, but mm-hmm. Because I think it's just, I don't want to use the term watered down, but that's close to what I mean. But mm-hmm. but it's always a story. Winning a state title.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because in the story that I did about Lancaster Catholic, I invoked a hockey quote from Fred Shiro. He said, before the Flyers played in the Stanley Cup Finals one year, it's like, if you win this game, you walk together forever. And I threw that out there to those guys, and they really latched onto that because they are all still connected.
That's right. Yeah.
In very interesting ways. Like, somebody's wife designed the wedding rings for another one of the guys. Like, stuff like that. It was really kind of fun to see just how connected they are.
But that's one of the fun things to think about when a team has won a state title.
Right.
This is never going to go away. You're always going to be connected in this way for the rest of your life. That's very cool.
Yeah, it was a very gratifying thing to be involved with. It really was.
And, I know we picked on the teams that did state championship teams, but as both of you know and I know and everybody associated with basketball, is that team will live with you. Even the district championship teams, the section championship teams, and it's very interesting to look back, but it's also kind of cool the things that are going on now. So the players now, I'm hoping, my hope is, number one, the reason we did this is to have a history, to have something that people can look back at and say, you know, who is this guy Jack Hurd? It's like, well, you don't understand, this guy was something else. You know, he's 6 foot six and he played like a guard and he was nasty and, you know, that was one of the things I wanted to do. And the other thing I wanted to do is give each team, we did 1,000-point scores for each team, although we didn't get all the totals, but we got the names out there. We had all the coaches' records. So, you know, you can look up Dell Jackson at Penn Manor and find his coaching record. And you can find, every year, you can look up Jim Kreider, Ambo Cleona, and get his coaching record. So I think that was important, just to put some names out there. And maybe guys, I did this more for me than anything else.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good reason.
Well, but I would think that the knowledge that you're going to be able to look up Dell Jackson's coaching record, that's going to move some product.
That's going to move the needle.
Boom. Yeah, definitely. And you know, the other thing that we did at the end, I went back and I found all the league standings. In other words, I had the coaches' overall record and what their record was that year, but I was curious to see what happened in the league, so only the league standings. So as Mike wrote in the beginning of the book, that I had I had looked at all the scores and the what teams did. In other words, Mike wrote about, okay, section one, section two is what we started. Mm-hmm. And then we went three sections, and then we went four sections, mm-hmm. then we went five sections, and now we're back to four. So that was interesting. We had halves. We had playoffs for halves. We had Lebanon playing McCaskey like five times in that one year. Mm-hmm. And we tried to incorporate that as a sense of history about what actually happened. And I was reading articles in the archives, and that was pretty interesting. And the one thing I noticed, Mike and Gordy, is all them playoff games. I know people complain about having too much, but those league playoff games, first half, second half, every time I was looking at them, the stands were packed.
Oh, man.
Like, totally packed.
I love that. I loved it when they used to play on a Saturday at Millersville.
Yeah,
that was really Saturday afternoon at Millersville. That was always really great because everybody was there.
That's one thing that kind of sets our league apart a little bit. I think we make a bigger deal out of the league playoffs than most leagues do.
Interesting.
There's no doubt about that. None. And other leagues have tried to kind of copycat, but you know, the Mid-Penn doesn't care, and York doesn't seem to have the same pizzazz. And if you're playing in Berks, I mean, you might as well most of the time give the trophy to either Reading or Wilson, and usually it's Reading. So, you know, there's not a lot of
that championship game is a big deal, but the playoffs itself, Here's a fun fact that I found out from working on this book. This is a goofy fact. It's kind of a dumb fact. But when I was in high school, you know, I went to Cedar Crest, and we were in the same section with McCaskey and Hempfield and the other big schools, you know, Township, etc. And I always thought we were Section 1, which they are now, and they have been for most of the history of the league. We were actually Section 2.
I wonder why.
I know why. This is the fun thing. Because, is it Elmer Kreiser, Del?
I believe so.
Guy who was the longtime Columbia guy was opposed to the league's to the forming of the league. He was opposed to it. And he said, just to be belligerent, I think, I can't see any other reason. He said, I'll go along with it as long as whatever section Columbia is in is Section 1.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
And that only lasted a couple years, but yeah. that was a pretty cool story, no doubt.
Because I remember that, like, years and years ago when I first got here, and I looked at, why is McCaskey in Section 2? Now I know.
Now we got the mid-pen. They got so many different names. You don't know what team's in what section.
Liberty
and
Commonwealth.
You can't keep them straight. It's ridiculous, in my humble opinion. You know, I mean, it's like, I don't know.
Give me a break. All right, let's talk a little bit about what's happened so far in high school hoops this season. Some teams haven't played yet. And some teams have as many as 3 games.
Yeah, nobody has more than 3, it looks like.
They moved the season up. They moved the season earlier by a week. Mm-hmm. That is.
Why was that, Mike?
I don't know.
Football, or is that for the playoffs down the road?
I don't know. You wouldn't think it would be for football. I mean, it would be.
They're playing today as we talk.
Yeah, state finals are going on right now.
Exactly.
In fact, that Aliquippa Bishop McDevitt game, which might be the heavyweight title fight of the whole thing, is going to be played tonight.
Wow.
Anyway, so we don't have a big sample size, but anyway, what's jumped out at you so far, Del?
Okay, so I'm just kind of cruising on the website here, and I'm looking. So the Lebanon Cedars have not played. They're going to have their tip-off tournament this weekend, so they'll be interesting to see.
What jumps out at me is LS beating Hempfield last night.
I was going to mention that. Yeah,
I mean that's the headline of so far
with 4 new starters.
I was there last night. It was a very interesting game. I wrote it up, and I talked about swings and adjustments and spurts, and the game was real slow, started off slow, and then what happened is Hempfield got in a little run. In fact, Hempfield was up 8 going into the fourth quarter, and LS outscored them 17-4 in the fourth, which, you know, propelled them to the win. But Hempfield had problems scoring. Their shooting percentage was way low, but the game got close, and LS just has a wonderful I don't know, home court advantage. Their fans are loud, and it got cooking in there, and we've seen that before, that when it gets going, when they start popping their threes, and they continue to shoot the threes. One of the things that I did last night for player of the game, we do once in a while, is I gave it to the big guy, Luke Hines, who doesn't get a lot of he didn't get a lot of press, but I swear he had 10 rebounds in the fourth quarter. He was the reason that Hempfield wasn't getting 2 or 3 shots at the basket.
That was
interesting. Yeah, that was an interesting game. I don't know. It's a little bit early. Crest is 2-0. I think they're really, really, really good.
Yeah, Crest has been impressive so far. They beat Governor Milton by 20. And they beat Conestoga Valley by 12. And they're all on the road. I think their first 6 or 7 games are on the road.
Why?
I don't know. But they're going down to Berks Catholic this week. They're going to, it's actually at Exeter. It's a showcase. I don't think it's a tournament. I think it's a 2-game.
Yeah.
They play Berks Catholic on Friday. So that'll be an interesting test for them. Very, very young last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were going to be pretty good, but they've been impressive. I think In their 2 games, they're 1 point away from having all 5 starters in double figures in both games.
That's
the one kid had 9 points in the against Conestoga.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were young last year, and last year's sophomores are juniors, and they're still relatively young, but they got a little spark in them. I mean, Tommy does a great job keeping those kids motivated, and they were so close last year to getting into the LLs, and I think they lost 3 out of their last 4 or 4 in a row, and they just couldn't finish the deal. So I'm sure knowing Tommy, I'm sure he's pointing that out to him. Section 2, I don't know. I'm looking at Warwick. The weird thing with Warwick that they've been there, I think like 3 or 4 years in a row as far as their section. And last year they played for the 6A championship against Reading. But I put their roster on yesterday or 2 days ago, and they have no seniors, guys. Zero.
Wow.
Well, they have a good junior class, though. They have a real good junior class, and it seemed to me like they were very active in the summer. It seems to me like they've got a lot of kids that are into it. They have a kid named Carter Horst, who is about a 6'2"-ish, very athletic, springy kid. I thought they beat Conestoga Valley or Cumberland Valley on the road in districts last year, and I really thought his athleticism, his rebounding, his contesting stuff around the rim was a key to them. And then they're going to have guards who can score a little bit. I think they're going to be pretty good. And they have the best name in the league. Let me lay this one on you. Ya Majesty Washington.
My wife had him in class.
He's a player.
Y-A-apostrophe-Majesty Washington.
My wife had him in class when he was in elementary school.
And I think he's going to score a little bit. I think he's going to be a factor for them.
He'll be pretty good. I think out of section two, the one name guy. We lost a lot of name kids last year, but the one name guy that's back is Trey Grube from Antrim Central,
leading the league in scoring right now.
Yeah, he's averaging 25.
He's a little dude, but man, he can shoot it up. There's no doubt. Yeah, he's special out of that section.
They have a loss, but I think they're going to be pretty good. The other team that I think is going to be pretty good has two losses already is Lancaster Mennonite.
Hmm. Yeah, Mennonite's their top player's hurt right now.
Yeah,
Cam Hurst, he'll be out for a while too. Somebody said he had I can't repeat. I don't know quite what, but he'll be out for quite a while, and that will definitely hurt them. But in that vein here for Mennonite, let's go up to three, and I think the team that nobody talks about yet, but they will by the end of the year, is Octorara.
Octorara, now that's another thing, talking about injuries. Elijah Hamilton, who is their best player, has not played yet. He's out with an injury, and it's going to be a while for him, too.
So they've been going
without him, and I think, are they 2-0?
They're 3-0,
yeah.
Yeah, they have a real nice wing player named Zach Kirk.
Yeah.
K-I-R-K.
Yeah, he's good.
He's very special. So I you know, at full strength, they're gonna be a lot to handle. Mm-hmm. How about the surprise? You guys want to talk about surprise. How about Columbia? They're 2-1.
Oh, that is the surprise to me, yeah.
That's gotta be a surprise, yes.
Yeah. I thought John Wall covered one of their first games, and this sophomore who scored a bunch in that game, John interviewed him after the game, and he goes, hey, we're the district champs. I can't understand why people are sleeping on us. Well, you know, you lost like three all-league, an all-state point guard and two other all-league like players. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, I realize he's just a kid, and he's just repping his team. God bless him. I'm very impressed. I kind of forgot about Columbia. I'm very impressed with what they've done so far.
You can't forget about them. I mean, Coach Glover's got them going. And I wanna throw a biscuit out to my my alma mater, Ammo Cleona, is 2-1. So you know, I'll take that. They're sitting on top. I'm looking at them right now. They had a kid this weekend, Jonathan Shea, Shay.
Yep.
He bumped in over 30 points. So he's a sophomore.
And he's a sophomore. I was just going to say, he's a sophomore.
Looking forward to see that. But it's early. I mean, the league starts next week for league games. And sometimes it's difficult to know when somebody's playing somebody from Berks or York if they're good. It's just a little bit early. I mean, I'm looking at Hempfield being 0-1, but that's not going to last.
Hempfield and Cedar Crest next Friday, eight days from today. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yep. That's at Hempfield, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Because we're going to try to live stream their game up at Cedar Crest later on. So, you know, we'll get to some of these games.
The one other team that I wonder about is Lancaster Catholic. because they had a down year last year. They have some new faces. They lost their opener by two to York Catholic. Mm-hmm. But I got to believe, I mean, I have so much belief in that coach, Joe Klazens, that I got to believe they're going to be back. What do you think of them, Dylan? What do you think?
You're dubious. I saw them once or twice this summer. I saw them at Warwick Shootout. They got a couple big kids. They're not like monsters. They're kind of skinny and have some skills. So I think they'll be okay. I mean, I think that's going to be a competitive section. I really do. But I'm leaning, if I'm picking dogs right now, I would lean towards Acarera if they're at full strength. Yeah. And LS is still, I'm telling you, they're popping the threes like there's no tomorrow. They were unconscious on some of their shots, but that's what they do. You know, I mean, they have guys that pop threes. They have a freshman that popped a three last night. Yeah. And they just kind of fill in the gaps and say they're not huge, but they run their stuff. And
it's about time we start saying that guy's a great coach.
And the program must have incredible
depth. Yeah, it's
a
program, but I mean, they've really, I expected them to drop off this year. I mean, and I'm not saying they won't after one game, but I was kind of stunned by that score last night.
No, he's, let me pull it up here real quick. Okay, so he's in his seventh year.
Yep.
So he's section champ 17, 18, 19, 20. Mm-hmm. And 22.
Yep.
He missed one year. He finished second to Cacalico.
And district champs last year.
Yeah, district champs. Yep, district champs last year as well. Yeah.
So
yep,
I mean, it's interesting to me that they have a chance to be decent considering Burton's not there anymore. You know, that guy, that kid was off the charts good.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, we're gonna miss him.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. I would have loved to have seen him play in the flesh because I only saw the highlights and I said, whoa, you know, he's damn impressive.
Well, since we're talking about LS, you can throw in that they're one of the few non-Section 1 teams to win an LL championship. So they won in 18 and they won in 22. They 18 was the Ryan Smith team, mm-hmm. and 22 was the Ty Burton team, led by Ty Burton team. So.
So, yeah, they've had some talent through there, too. those are two pretty exceptional players.
And the kid, their best player now is this kid, Ben Wirt, who started for them last year, who was the closest thing they had last year to kind of a slasher. Mm-hmm. 6'2", pretty athletic, sort of played like a small forward, although he definitely was one of those guys who was jacking the threes and making 40% of them. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be... I think he's going to be probably one of the best players in the league. I mean,
he's probably their top scorer as we look at it.
Yeah, he's averaging. He's fifth in the league right now. He's averaging 18.7.
He didn't have the best game shooting last night, but he was there. He drove the ball and got to the line, and you know he's a real solid kid, really solid. Mm-hmm. So.
Who else? Is there anybody else that's caught your eye? Because I have the list in front of me, the top scorers and the standings and such.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you want to talk surprises, and I haven't seen him yet, but Andy has, is Solanco. I mean, Solanco's 2-1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And last year, I think they might have had two wins. I mean, they have a new coach. So that's a rare thing in this day and age. It used to be okay that you had the AD and the basketball coach, but that's the only one recently that I can think of.
Oh,
so
that's a good
Anthony
point.
Hall.
I didn't even make that connection, but that's right.
Nobody has in our league. Let's put it that way. Not recently. I mean, I remember Dave Allhouse did it back in Warwick, but even at that time, the ADs and the head coaches, not the same. So I think that's important, something to watch as we go on there.
I do think the thing to look at going forward is both Hurst and this Elijah Hamilton. Hurst for Mennonite and Elijah Hamilton for Octorera. Those are some teams that have a chance to have a postseason, and those are two kids who have a chance to play college basketball. Mm-hmm. And Hurst has really had bad luck with that. He was hurt at times last year, and really couldn't shoot threes the way he did the year before, which was Steph Curry like the year before, because of some sort of a wrist thing that he never that lingered almost the whole year. But anyway, they went to the did they go to the state semis last year, or the quarters? Anyway,
I don't think it was the semis last year.
They won a couple games in states. And they should be as good as they were last year, I would think. I don't know why not. Mm-hmm. Assuming that Hurst is healthy. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Octorera. Octorera could have their best year in a while. But this Hamilton kid who has played a lot of basketball, he's one of those guys that does the AAU stuff, mm-hmm. and he's athletic, and he's 6'4", Del? Mm-hmm. 6'5"?
I'd say. Yeah, he's they got him listed at 6'6", so he's big. Yeah, he's big, and he's very athletic. He jumps, and he's got some skills. He hits a 15-foot jumper, and
so those are the question marks maybe to look at going forward. Those two.
Yeah, and let's go back to Mennonite just for a second. We didn't talk about their big guy, David Weaver, and he's had some injury problems in the past, but he's 6'6", got really good hands around the basket.
And he's wide. He's a strong kid, and he's gotten so much better. He's really gotten better in the last couple of years. Yeah.
Well, is Seth Buckwalter still the coach there?
Yep.
So there's a guy to work with.
You're right. Yeah.
Well, and they have a history, at least recently. They just start off. It just takes them a while to kind of gel together.
Yeah, that's true.
They usually have some problems with turnovers early, and then Coach Seth figures out who can play, they always improve. I remember watching them last year or 2 years ago, and they had 25 turnovers, and I wrote to Coach afterwards, and he was a little down, but, towards the end of the year, they figured it out, and they're averaging 8 turnovers a game and, beating teams. So they'll be fine, and some of these teams, I'll tell you guys, just as last year, some of these teams – are looking more at districts. I mean, they want to win the sections and everything, but you got Columbia, you got Mennonite, you got Country Day, who's a single A school, and they could compete for a district title this year. The other thing that people aren't aware of too much yet is Warwick is now a 5A school and not a 6A school. So that's gonna help them down the road as far as going down. I mean, last year they were spectacular. So who knows? That's gonna help. That some of these schools are just looking, the smaller schools especially, they have the opportunity. They might come in 10-10 and still be really good in the
district. That could be the case with certainly with Mennonite would be a good example of that.
And that's how the league set it up. I'm looking at Section 4. They got 5 teams in Section 4. We got 6 teams in Section 1, 7-2, and 7-3. So the league is set up so the smaller schools are together and the bigger schools are together. So that kind of helps them with their district points, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting what you said about Lancaster Mennonite, because I know when Coach Groff was there, that was kind of their MO too. They always seemed to be at their best when the games were the biggest too. I wonder what it is in the water over there, but that seems to be how they're made up anyway.
Yeah, and I think sometimes they get Mennonite's a little bit different than most of the schools because sometimes they do get some new faces. They have some kids coming in from different areas that's not recruiting in our area. They have kids that come in from different areas, and sometimes those kids need to fit in, and it takes a little bit of while to figure out what they can do. And I think it's
less
a
of a
lot more on the defensive end than
that's
the offensive end.
That's
fair. Yeah.
Now, I'm looking at these leading scorers, and I see names, it looks like familiar names, like of probably sons of guys that I covered back in the day. Jordan Poole at Columbia. I'm guessing that's Mike Poole's son.
Well, there's a lot of Pools in that town. Well,
or Art Poindexter at Columbia. There was a Poindexter who back in the day. Aiden Shump, Art Shump's son, I'm
that
assuming.
That is correct, yes. And he's about 6'6".
He's another big guy that we haven't talked about. And Section 1, there's not a lot of bigs, so that's definitely going to help Chris.
Rob Berger's son.
Oh, yeah, I saw him. I saw
a
Berger.
I couldn't find him.
Tyler?
Yeah, that's him. Okay. That's him. He's going to Lebanon Valley to play baseball.
How about that?
Yeah, which well, he should be able to do it at that level, I would think.
I would think so. Anyway. So not that we're old or anything.
No. And also, after the buzzer guest.
That's right. Yeah. Indeed he was.
Very good.
Del Jackson, LLHoops.com. Follow him on the website for lots of information about the league and the area in high school basketball. And also live streaming of games, right? You're going to do some games, right, Del?
Yeah, every year it seems like we're doing something different. So we're testing out a new system. We're going to do that next week. I think our first scheduled game is Penn Manor at McCaskey. I think it's next Friday. So, we have some games on the schedule. And one of the things that we try not to do is do too many games so it's not diluted. But we also try to pick out some games that people are interested in, and I think coming up, if we get the rights for it, we have to deal with the league a little bit. But if we get the rights, I think this will be our fifth LL Finals this year.
Great.
I think.
That's great.
And that was spectacular as far as number of hits that we had last year. We had
we had
4,000 on the boys' side, and we had 2,000 on the girls' side.
Man.
So,
we had our LL basketball media day at our newsroom 2 Sundays ago, and we have this big video screen that's sort of like right as you walk in, and that your feed of that game of the LL championship game was playing as the kids were walking in. Which I thought was a little cruel to the Hempfield kids.
Yeah.
To be walking in there, and we're inviting you here, and
let's revisit this.
Yeah, let's revisit this exactly. Anyway,
it was a good game, but those games are on all the past games are on the YouTube page, so it's at LL Hoops on YouTube. We're also on the Twitter. We're very active on the Twitter, and we really enjoy the Twitter at LL Hoops for the Twitter. And we have Facebook, so anytime we put something up, it goes to our Facebook page automatically, and it's tweeted out. So we do a pretty good job with the PR end of it, and we're getting a lot of good feedback this week because it's time.
It's time again. And again, we want to emphasize 50 years of Lancaster Lebanon League boys basketball. The book will be coming soon. Follow along with Del at LLHoops.com, and you can find out how to get that book. And,
I really look forward to that. In fact, I really want to have a hard copy of it. That's what I really want to have.
For the hard copy, let's get one. All right.
Yeah.
So anyway, Del, get well.
Yes.
We'll see you in a gym somewhere soon.
I'm sure. Hey, thank you guys. You do a great job. I appreciate it.
All right,
thanks,
Del.
Thank you for your help with a book. I mean, it's been awesome. And
it was really fun to do. Really enjoyed it a lot. It was great. So, best to you, Del. Take care. Be well.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. So, Mike, what was your takeaway from? I'm eager to see the book, first of all, because you and I have both seen the rough drafts, and I'm kind of eager to see the finished product.
It's kind of funny because Del is not a writer, and he's never been a writer, and he was a coach. He comes at this completely with just wanting to be involved in basketball, but the copy editing thing is kind of blows his mind. I was on it. We were changing a passage in the introduction that I wrote for the book, and I was having trouble with my email and an IT thing yesterday, and so I'm on the phone trying to explain this to him, and it was a little bit of a challenge. It was a little bit of a comic thing if you could have listened to this conversation, but we got it fixed anyway.
There
but anyway,
you go.
It's you got to grind on the words, and when it's 300 pages worth of words, it's a lot of grinding.
Yeah, well, you and I have both written books, and we know a little bit where that just how time intensive and energy intensive it can be.
Yeah.
So, but once you see it, once you see the finished product, there's a lot of satisfaction.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty gratifying. Yeah.
No doubt. So I really look forward to that. And I wasn't kidding. I really do want to see the hard copy as much as the ebook, just because there's something about holding something in your hands.
Yeah, something in your hands. Yeah. And again, I think they will sell some of those, even if it's just as I said, like the school libraries and that kind of thing.
So that would make sense.
There'll be some of those.
I hope so.
You'll be able to move some of those.
Yeah, so I really look forward to it because I think a lot of people put a lot into this. And you know, Dell has a real love of the game, which I think is just great. I love that he has a site like this, and he's been at it for a long time now.
Yeah.
And it does get a lot of traffic, and deservedly so. And
keeps trying to get it better.
Yes.
I think a lot of these kind of websites,
mm-hmm.
People get a little stagnant with it. Understandably, people
right.
get a little stagnant
right.
with it over time, and that has not happened with him. He's mm-hmm. kept trying to push, even when some of the stuff that involves... it's kind of a pain in the ass, like
right.
this, like having to deal with this, all the issues that go with streaming these games.
Right.
It's,
right.
You know, but yeah,
he's
kept at it.
I give him a lot of credit because it's like he's expanded it in every way. He's expanded its capabilities. He's expanded it geographically.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
He's had people writing from, you know, further and further yep. afield, which I think is pretty
yep.
cool. So good
yeah.
for him.
And it's something that sets our league apart a little bit.
I think
most
so.
Most leagues don't have anything like this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's the best league in the state or anything, but I think it's a really good league.
Yeah.
And I think, and it's a very prideful league, I would say.
Yeah,
and I think
so
there's too. A lot of, there's it's very competitive, but I also think there's a certain camaraderie.
Yep.
There's something really appealing about that
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. We might be exaggerating how unique it is because we're so close to it.
That's
we
true.
Might be, but maybe not. I don't know. And again, I think the value that everybody places on this league playoff tournament
mm-hmm.
is evidence for what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like I go back to that. Those Saturday afternoons at Millersville when they used to play the leagues, I thought those were just really magical because it's like you had people filling the place from
yeah.
every school in the
yeah.
league, literally
yeah.
every school in the league. And then you had some just ridiculously great individual and team performances in those games. You
and
know,
that's one of the things about last year's game.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of adds to the legend of that a little
right.
bit because that was a great game in front of a great crowd and a player, mm-hmm. you know, Ty Burton, that we're going to remember. He's
yes.
gone, but he's a
he was
member.
A comet.
Yeah,
he was a comet for
yeah.
this league for sure. Yeah,
yeah.
So. But, you know, I think about those, you know, Whistler out at Millersville, Johnny Miller, you know, the list goes on and on. Just, you know, guys who just, like, really elevated their profile just because they were there in front of every other school in the league doing what they were doing,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, that's right. It's a cool thing.
It really is.
We like it.
Yes, we do. So let's move on. It's a big week for the Phillies. They signed Trey Turner. Our Jim Salisbury, who from NBC Sports Philadelphia, was on last week, and he thought that Aaron Judge would sign first, and that would set the market. In actuality, Trey Turner signed first.
Yeah, yeah, I thought that too. I thought he had it right that they were going to get him, which
right.
a lot of people thought.
Yeah.
I mean, that was not, but I thought of that too. I instantly thought that. Well, they didn't wait for Aaron Judge,
nah.
and it sounded like Aaron Judge kind of got jerked around a little bit by the Yankees, and then you know,
mm-hmm.
he signed for apparently less money than he could have gotten from San Diego and maybe also from the Giants.
How will he ever get by?
He'll find a way.
But anyway.
Well, hamburger help.
Yeah, exactly.
But
it's interesting to me because, you know, immediately after signing Trey Turner, there was all sorts of Twitter reaction, as you might imagine. And one of the things was people setting up prospective Phillies lineups. I was surprised when people say, oh, we should still have Schwarber lead off. No! No, 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 no. Trey Turner leads off.
No,
that's it.
And that's a good example of people overreacting to what happened in October.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Because that's not... I mean, Schwarber's not going to have any trouble. It's not like that was a magical thing for Schwarber to be in the,
yeah.
in the leadoff. No, no. He'll be fine. He'll
yeah.
be fine. And... But, you know, you have a guy that doesn't get on base at the front of the line. I mean, you know, metrics are, you can advance metric your ass off, but it's still,
mm-hmm.
you know, that guy's got to get on base, and this guy will.
So who bats second? That's my bigger question. Now, in the old days, I think you bat a guy like Real Muto second. Now, maybe you want your best player to get that many more bats. So does Harper bat second?
It might be.
Yeah, that
yeah.
would make sense to me.
It might be. And they might think Schwarber fits up there. I don't really. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would be fine with Harper batting second.
I mean,
honestly.
Yeah, get him as many at bats
yeah,
as you can.
That's right. That's, hey, and we said this last week, but... I mean, Aaron Judge batted leadoff for
yeah.
a lot of this past right. season and right. had one of the great seasons in baseball history.
Right. So, I mean, that is a really formidable lineup, too. I mean, that is really formidable. I mean, when Harper gets back in May, that is, they're going to score a shit ton of runs.
They should. They yeah. should. And again, they're all in.
As they should be.
They're in the arms race, and they're throwing tons of money at people, mm-hmm. and here we go.
Yeah, so, and they also made a sign a starting pitcher from the Mets, Taijuan Walker. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. And I think that was a good signing, too, to fill out their rotation, you know, with the Wheeler, Nola, Ranger, Suarez trio at the top. So I think they're pretty good there. So it gets back to bullpens are amazingly fickle. You don't know what you're going to get from one year to the next from the same guys.
Yeah.
It's really, and their guys pitched really well down the stretch and into the playoffs. And then of course they had that hiccup at the end of the World Series, but nonetheless, that's, you just don't know. You just don't know.
And one of the things that I've read since we talked to Jim Southbury, mm-hmm. that I've been reading and hearing a little bit is the 19-year-old kid that we talked about, the pitcher, they're talking about him.
I've heard that too.
Helping him and maybe being in the rotation this year. And he's a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a teenager, a 6'7" right-hander who throws 100 miles an hour, but still a teenager.
Yeah. I mean, I heard somebody talking about him the other day too. And I remember what Salisbury said, that you talk to him, he's 19, but he acts like he's 29.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's
good.
It's another example of how deeply embedded Jim Salisbury is in this stuff, that he knows to that degree.
Yeah.
And B, it just says something about the kid himself, that this is maybe a different kind of cat.
Yeah, because he has not, I don't think he's been to a major league spring training yet. So it's not like Salisbury would have an easy opportunity to talk to him, but somehow he did.
But
so.
Yeah, Jim being Jim.
Yeah, that's right.
So the other thing that we want to talk about is the Rose Bowl is set. Penn State's going to be playing Utah. And from what I can gather, I mean, I'm not as involved with it as you are. Penn State's going to have its hands full. Those guys are no joke.
I mean, I've seen Utah play twice. Both times it was against USC,
right,
which is their two best wins of the year. You know, they have some they lost to Florida early.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida turned out to be, I think Florida went 7-5 or 6.
Right.
I mean, that was, and they lost to UCLA, which was a little...
Right,
a bit of a surprise. Although UCLA is good, UCLA's a good team. I think they're a slight favorite. I think the line opened at 1.5. Now mm-hmm. it's 2. The last time I looked,
right.
And that seems right to me. I think Utah deserves to be favored. I would consider them a slight favorite. I think I'm going to pick them to win. They're a tough team, and you know. Dave, our boy Dave, wrote something about this. I think it was today, or I saw it today. And he kind of compared them to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're more athletic and quicker than Wisconsin. I think that's maybe sort of a West Coast version of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So I think they are I think they're going to be a tough out for Penn State. I don't think it's a great matchup for Penn State, because I think they can sort of match, from what I've seen, they can sort of match their athleticism. I mean, maybe not.
Yeah, so Dave, we're talking about our friend Dave Jones from PennLive.com. He was writing about Utah-USC, and in reference to Utah, he used the phrase "garish display of badassery." So I immediately, of course, Facebooked him back and said that when I start my punk rock band, which I will any day now, I'm going to call it "garish display of badassery."
Yeah. Well, James Franklin on Sunday night, when we found out that it was going to be the Rose Bowl, they always do a teleconference.
Right, right.
So they did one with both coaches, and then they did one with just James and our Penn State gang. And he said that he watched that Pac-12 championship game,
mm-hmm.
and there was a play in there where their quarterback, I'm sorry, I can't think of his name right now, but he's a very good player. But he was running like along, on the sidelines trying to make it, and he really got drilled.
Mm-hmm.
He got his helmet knocked off, and he bounced right back up and said, "Let's go. All right, let's go." And James said that impressed me. And also the way his teammates reacted to that
mm-hmm.
impressed him. So James, by the way, was in an airport in Kansas on the way to some recruiting thing.
He's of course he was
way out in the Midwest recruiting. Yeah,
Cameron Rising is the gentleman's name.
Yeah,
his quarterback. Right. He's got the big
the flowing locks.
Yeah, the flowing locks.
But yeah, that, I mean, that play is one that's been replayed a lot, just him getting his hat knocked off and getting up.
Now, I don't know if they're going to be able to throw it down the field against Penn State, so maybe Penn State can load the box a little bit. Mm. They will be playing without their best corner, Joey Porter Jr., who is opted out of the game
because
he's turning pro.
Oh boy.
He's turning pro and he's not going to play in the game. Mm-hmm. And he announced that before they found out that it was going to be the Rose Bowl.
Hmm.
So somebody raised the question today, I think it was on Twitter, I wonder if he'd have thinking differently if he'd have known it was the Rose Bowl.
I don't know. I mean, then again, there's a bottom line aspect to this too.
Yeah. I mean, so... that's a position where they have a lot of depth,
mm-hmm.
but with Porter, you can almost like leave that side of the field to him mm-hmm. and do other things defensively, which maybe you won't be able to do mm-hmm. to quite the same extent.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wonder if his thinking is at all influenced by the fact that he missed a couple games this year with appendicitis.
Yeah.
Rather, right. Yep. I wonder if that's like, if that says, well, wait a minute, you know, this thing is a little fragile. I mean, is that it's always sort of in the back of everybody's mind.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe so, that's it. And also, you know, his dad played in the NFL, so mm-hmm. he's hearing from somebody who has really lived it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fine. I haven't heard that anybody else is not playing.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had some guys enter the portal.
I was going to ask you about that. Any really notable
ones?
Well,
the only one that I think is notable is Christian Vayu, the quarterback.
Right.
But
everybody's kind of saw that coming,
though. But that was, I mean, that was a business decision that seemed sort of obvious because of the presence of Drew Aller. But the other guys are I think mostly linemen
mm-hmm.
who really are like third and fourth string type guys who are a long shot to play a lot at mm-hmm. Penn State, I think, going forward.
Is there any scuttlebutt about guys coming their way through the portal?
Well, yeah, there is. I'm going to do a big notebook on Sunday about all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
Transfers and recruiting mm-hmm. Opting out, blah, blah, blah. So I think they're going to try to get a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of guys. There's a guy who from Penn Hills High School.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a high school teammate of Daquan Hardy who went to Kent State
mm-hmm.
and had a pretty good career. I don't know the name, but he had a pretty good career and he's in the portal. And I think Georgia and Oklahoma have offered him
uh-huh.
since he entered the portal. And Penn State is supposedly involved with him. There's a kid from South Florida. I think his last name is Horn.
Dante Cephas is the Kent State.
Yeah, that's him. And there's a kid named Horn, I think, who from South Florida, who's had a good career, who's in the portal. And he is named Penn State. He has four.
Jimmy Horn Jr.?
Yeah, that's him. He's got four finalists.
Uh-huh.
Texas A&M is one of them, and Penn State is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's four or five guys like that. Mm-hmm. I think they're probably going to come out of it with a receiver. They may want to look for a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
They may want to look for a defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I definitely think they've really embraced that, and they're going to try to go all.
This fascinates me, and I'm glad it exists. And Penn State certainly benefited in the case of Mitchell Tinsley. And who was the offensive lineman they got from
Hunter Norzak?
Where was he from before that?
He was Cornell.
That's right. I knew he was Ivy.
But the year before, look at the defensive line. Where would they have been defensive line wise without the kid from Temple?
Right.
Who was on the Falcons now?
Yeah.
The other guy from Duke, Tangelo.
Right.
He's in the NFL too. He's playing.
So it would interest me to know how college staffs handled this whole free agency thing. I mean, are they spending more time watching other teams than they would before and just understanding who's out there, or how does that work?
I think part of it is they just have an army of analysts
mm-hmm.
and some of them kind of specialize on the transfer portal, watching film guys on the transfer.
You would have to.
Some of them are watching high school kids mm-hmm. on film. And it's a big operation with a lot of
it is an army of people involved with it, as we all know.
And that's one of those things that Franklin keeps talking about. He's talking about alignment, and 365 days a year, you got to be committed, you got to be all in, and everybody's got to be on the same page. And that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, so it is interesting how much they've benefited from this new free agency, and I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with it personally.
Yeah,
I think
it kind of makes... It kind of makes it a little bit more interesting.
I think so.
It's sort of like free agency. the thing that's sort of sobering about it is how much of a role is NIL playing in it? Like what? And I'm going to write about this next week. I've seen some interesting things about that. But that's the off season, nobody has any much sympathy for college football coaches because they make an obscene amount of money.
Correct.
But this time of year is pretty brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, the regular season just ended. You can't take a deep breath. The portal, the recruiting, the early signing day, which is the real signing day now, is December 21st. So that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
The next couple of weeks are not a lot of fun. These guys are in airports in Kansas. You know, that's their life for the next couple of weeks. And
you have to replenish the talent. It's ever evolving.
It's the most important thing they do.
Yeah.
And now you got to recruit the guys after they're already there.
Yeah.
Really.
Oh, before we close, I wanted to. This is off that topic, but I wanted to add this little footnote. I was working on this piece about Mark McNamara, who was the 12th man on the Sixers' last championship team.
Yeah.
He's among, between 2011 and 2020, he's among the six former Sixers centers who died of heart problems. He died in 2020 in Ely, Nevada. He had a heart problem and suddenly his heart just gave up completely. But that's sort of the basis of this. So the story that his best friend told me was in the 83 finals, his best friend was getting married in San Jose, California. The Sixers were about to play game 3 on Sunday the 29th. The wedding was on Saturday the 28th. Mark McNamara sneaked out of the team hotel to be the best man at this guy's wedding in San Jose, and then flew back the next day. So I've been trying to get Billy Cunningham for a week. He called me back yesterday. And I said to him, "Were you aware of this?" And he said, "No." And then he just started laughing about it. And he said, "I got to tell all these guys that I coach." And he said, "And you know what? Not one of them will be surprised." So I had to ask Billy, because Billy, as we all know, was a really driven guy and a very driven coach.
Yeah.
And this is a team that had been pushing the boulder up the mountain for years on end.
Yep.
And it's like, finally, they're going to, and after 12 minutes. So I said, "Well, what would you have done to him if you found out?" And he goes, "Well, probably nothing." And I said, "Really?" And then he kind of hemmed and hawed and said, "Well, maybe in the interest of consistency." I think Billy would have killed him.
What I think is funny about that is just assuming that you could pull that off.
Right.
Because it's not like he's just going to go to the wedding and hang, have fun at the... He's the best man they're playing. That's pretty amazing.
So, yeah, I thought so too. But this guy, Ted Whittington, he was a college teammate and a roommate of Mark's at Santa Clara. Mark played 2 years at Santa Clara, 2 years at Cal, and they remained friends throughout their entire life. And he was going to be the best man. Like I said, the wedding is on Saturday the 28th. The Sixers play game 3 on the Sunday the 29th, Sunday afternoon, no less. So Mark flies up, flies back, and Billy's going, "I wonder how he was actually saying this to me. I wonder how he did that. I mean, he had to have been at shoot-around, right?" And I said, "Yeah, you would have kind of noticed it if he was."
I didn't notice. I mean, he's a 12th man.
Yeah. So the funny part about it was then Mark played a garbage time minute in the game, which the Sixers won the next day. He made his only two baskets of the playoffs. And Billy was like, "Oh, really? I remember that."
Well, that would be amazing.
Exactly. But at any rate, I thought that was kind of a funny little sidelight to a really a kind of an interesting guy and an interesting life.
I like it.
Yeah. So stories. I guess I we think like we'll, we like good stories. Indeed, we do. So I guess we'll end on that note, Mike.
Yes, we will. Okay. Thanks, Del Jackson. We'll be back again soon with more fun stuff on After the Buzzer. He's Gordy. I'm Mike. See ya.
See you later.